The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
It is 8:07. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here at 660 AM. The Answer. Loving to hear from you. At 866-660-5759, we set up the first hour of the show talking about the fact that that MSNBC fired Ronna McDaniel about an hour after they hired her because the people there at MSNBC, those journalists that they employ, simply couldn't handle the thought of having somebody that disagreed with them on the set. And that's really what it boils down to. They don't like Ronna McDaniel because she was associated with Donald Trump. She was chairman of the RNC when Donald Trump was president. And she dared at some point somewhere in there to raise her hand up and say, are we totally sure that everything about the 2020 election was on the up and up? I mean, she raised that question. It's a fair question. I believe that Joe Biden is the president of the United States. He was certified in the Congress. The Electoral College vote was certified. He's the president. I get it. He won. But that doesn't exclude the possibility that there was some shenanigans going on enabled by hastily crafted COVID policies that enabled some cheating in the counting of the votes in 2020 in certain counties, in certain precincts, that might or might not have affected the outcome of the election. And it's certainly worth asking the question, and you ought to be allowed to do so. You ought to be able to say, why is this happening? There are allegations that there were, quote-unquote, mail-in ballots that had no creases. There were ballots that suddenly appeared in the dark of the night. It was okay to ask the question. And if the Democrats truly believe that they won the election on the fair and square, on the total up and up, they should welcome that kind of questioning instead of demonizing anybody who would dare raise the question. So the whole first hour is set up on the idea of what we're talking about this morning. The premise is they don't want to debate you. They want to silence you so that they are freed from the burden of debating and freed from the burden of defending what it is they believe in. Your thoughts, 866-660-5759. We're back to the phones. This time it's Francesca. And, Alan, you're up. Francesca, what do you say? Oh, we've lost Francesca. We'll come back to her. Let's go. We go to John in Farmers Branch. John, you're up. What do you say?
Good morning. You know, I just have to, I had to call after that phone call from Amy.
Oh, gosh.
She prompted me to do something I've never done in my life, and that's call into a radio show.
So you and I both had a first today. I've never had to dump a call because of profanity in all the time I've been doing this. First time. So you and I each have a first.
Yes. You know, I love that, you know, this station actually will take a call from someone that disagrees. And I normally love to listen to the debate because most liberal arguments just fall apart because they're empty. You know, but as I was listening to her, and of course I'm yelling at the radio in my car, she actually believes everything she was saying. She wasn't trying to argue or debate. She believes it.
Well, yeah, and give her that.
And I was like, that I don't know if I'm mad or sad, but I said, all right, I had to call in and just comment on that. And then that text message saying that she speaks for the majority of Republicans. Well, I think one thing that Donald Trump has done is he's awakened a lot of Americans that didn't maybe call themselves a Republican. And I know this because I've got 12 employees. I own a business. And
me too.
And not one of them was ever registered to vote. And these are, you know, men and women, 30, 40, 50 years old, have never voted.
Wow.
But something has happened since 2020 where I can't believe the political talk we have at work. They all, I would say, align as strongly conservative. They just want to be left alone by the government and live their life and enjoy themselves. But they have been awakened, and they are angry, and they are all getting registered to vote here this November, and they're actually excited to be taking part of it. And they are strong MAGA. They are behind Trump. So I couldn't be more proud of my hiring decisions.
Listen. Well, John, you know, you raise a good point, and it's something that I said. I write a weekly column at a website called YouTellMeTexas.com. And some years ago, I can't tell you when, I could look it up, but I said what Donald Trump did that is unforgivable is he awakened a whole lot of people who were only very nominally engaged in the political process, if at all. But he awakened mm-hmm. he awakened the heartland, people who make their livings with their hands and with their brawn, and who are, you know, of the very people who are keeping the country running. He awakened them to the knowledge that for the past 30 odd years they have been thoroughly misgoverned by people from both parties.
Yes.
We've been getting screwed over by a small cabal of political elites now for 30 plus years. And Donald Trump dared say that out loud. And that's the reason there was so much resistance to him on the left for sure, but also on the right, because he was messing up the comfortable deal.
The one thing the Republicans are really good at, they're good at losing, and they love to lose because they can fundraise when they lose.
Well, there's that. And don't Republicans give great concession speeches?
Yes.
They're fantastically eloquent. You know, they're just wonderful pieces of oratory. We're real good at concession speeches for sure.
I was not a Trump guy in 2016. I had lots of friends of mine that says this is a revolution. We have found someone that's going to speak for us. I didn't trust him. I was a Ted Cruz guy all the way.
Yeah.
So my wife and I reluctantly voted for Trump in 2016. I'll admit that. And lo and behold, we were proven wrong. So now 2020. I had the signs in the yard. I had the T-shirts. I had the stickers on the cars. And we're doing the same thing here in 2024. And I'll tell you, there's been a lot of talk about Trump. And I know he hasn't had the suburban housewife vote. But he won my wife over. It was one of his campaign speeches when I guess there was a woman in the crowd that was under some distress. And he kept talking into the microphone to her, telling her, you know, you stay right there, honey. We're going to get you. We're going to take care of you. We're going to get some people to take care of you, in the middle of his campaign rally.
Right.
And my wife says, who does that? She was like, that's not made up. That is who he is. And that's when my wife came along and she was MAGA before I was.
Well, listen, I've got, you know, a little personal experience with being around Donald Trump in that I've, you know, covered the 2016 and the 2020 election was hard to cover because of COVID. But and then most recently here in 2024, I start the coverage at my radio stations in East Texas, KTBB, Tyler, Longview. I start by going to the New Hampshire primary.
Mm-hmm.
And being there for those days, the weekend leading up to the Tuesday primary, and there I have, in all my years of doing this, this goes back to we started doing this, going on the road for the campaign in 2004. In all the years of doing this, I have never seen anything like the phenomenon of a Donald Trump appearance. I talked to people in New Hampshire here back in January. It's just brutally cold, but standing outside for 5 hours in order to get into the venue. And Joe Biden, I think yesterday, is talking to a group of, you know, fewer than 100. You know, I've never seen anything like the connection that Donald Trump has with his core supporters. I'm not saying that you can win with only your core, but he has an incredibly strong core support, like nothing I've seen in a couple of decades now covering presidential elections.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting thing. Yeah. He's not perfect, and I've been sat here in this chair, in this studio, talking into this microphone, saying that he made some mistakes post the 2020 election. I think he should have gracefully stepped back after the Supreme Court refused to hear the Texas lawsuit. And I think he should have taken Mike Pence's advice, his VP's advice, and gracefully conceded, and then gone on the road and started a victory tour of look at what we accomplished during my presidency. He'd be sitting. I think he's in pretty good shape now, but he'd be sitting absolutely pretty for re-election today. John, I appreciate your call.
Yes, thank you, and enjoy the show, and God bless you.
You too. That opens up a line at 866-660-5759. We did get Francesca back. Francesca, welcome to the show.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. I'm blessed to be here with you. I am an immigrant, also now a business owner. I hailed from Lima, Peru,
okay,
in 1999. All my
right.
father worked very hard to bring us to the United States, the freest country on earth. I recall the last day we left Peru, we got assaulted in our car as we were leaving the U.S. as we were leaving Lima, Peru. And my father said, I'm so glad we are leaving this awful place. Then we go to California. In 1999, I lived there until 2020. I was never into politics, never really cared for it, until the governor, Newsom, the Emperor Gavin Newsom, shut down my business and told me I couldn't work. I couldn't open my gym. And that was the red flag for me. I said, why is Target and the bar across open, but not my gym?
Well, Francesca, I saw that right here, and you mentioned Target. The Target I go to is the one at Medallion Center on Northwest Highway in Dallas, Northwest Highway between Skillman and Abrams. That strip center, there was Target. They were deemed essential because they sold groceries. They were deemed essential. They're open. Next door, two doors down, very close to them in the strip center, is a children's clothing store, and that business failed.
Correct. Small businesses were targeted to be closed, but big businesses were not. And I put lawsuits open, and I told them I'm going to follow all the restrictions, you know, the mask, the spray, all that. But please, I cannot work. And they're like, no, we'll pay you. And I said, I don't need your money, government. I want to work. And so I started looking into really more into politics, and that's when I saw the red flag. It really affected me to the point where I just said I had enough. So my husband and I got married, and then, well, my boyfriend and I got married. We moved to Texas. And my message to those that have, the Texans that have lived here that don't really, you know who to believe anymore. I understand the news can be very confusing. They're both sides of the spectrum, you know, telling no, vote for this guy. And I am not here to say people who you should vote for. But what I'm here to say is I can speak from my experience, what I have witnessed with my own very eyes. And I can tell the people and all Americans that are listening, in Peru, it's now at the point where we grew up in the 1980s and 1990s, it was normal to hire your own. You had to hire your own policeman to take care of your properties or
wow.
your house or your
wow.
or your communities. And then just recently, about I read here on the news that now in California there are some schools that are now having to hire their own policemen to watch over their communities.
You know, and Francesca, you know what's mm-hmm. crazy? If one of those hired, you know, private police officers or hired private security, if they have to engage in something violent to prevent something violent happening to them or the people they're protecting, it'll probably be them that gets prosecuted.
Amen. That's right.
You know?
That's right. Just like in New York and now California. So I because I experienced it firsthand in Peru, and then I experienced it firsthand in California, and now I'm here in the great state of Texas. I must admit, who you vote for and the policies truly affect your life. And if your life was better 4 years, 5 years ago, it's because of the current Democrat. I mean, I don't want to put you know, point fingers. I want to speak on my experience. But who you vote for really will impact your life. And the news, corporate news media are bought out. My sister lives right now in Italy, and Italian news, they're also they're liars. They say a lot of lies to the Europeans about Trump. But the most European countries hate Trump because Trump started telling the Europeans to pay their fair share.
To pony up. Yep, they did.
And so they didn't like that. So,
Francesca, listen, God bless you. You came to this country legally, and you made a life, and you're doing it right, and you own a business, and you're taking the risks that have to be taken in order to succeed. And I wish you every success, Francesca, and I appreciate your call.
Thank you, sir.
You have a great day. 866-660-5759. More of the Mark Davis Show is coming up after the break. Well, it's a three-hour show. We're an hour and a half in, so we're at the halfway point of the Mark Davis Show. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here on 660 AM The Answer. You're going to want to stick around after the bottom of the hour news for our guest. His name is J. Michael Waller. He is the author of the book Big Intel, How the CIA and FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains. And the topic is, in keeping with what we've been talking about for the first hour and a half of the show today, how the left wants to make sure that you don't get to debate, that you're not allowed to talk, for fear of you talking and making sense and causing them to lose elections. They don't want the debate. They don't want to debate you. They want to silence you. Our guest after the bottom of the hour is going to talk about that. His name is J. Michael Waller. He's a part of the program here on 660 AM The Answer. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. It's all coming your way after the news. Stay with us. Last line by Michael Waller, who is the J. Michael Waller, who is the author of the book Big Intel, How the CIA and FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains. Michael, welcome to the show. Thanks for being a part of the program.
Hi, Paul.
Listen, you wrote an op-ed, I think, today on FoxNews.com, where you assert that because the Biden administration lost a case at the Supreme Court that said you can't go in and micromanage the big tech companies, Facebook, Twitter, social media, to suppress the free speech of Americans, that they're going to try to backdoor it through the FCC. I may have stumbled over that, Precy, but set us straight.
Sure. Actually, this is part of a larger plan that the administration's had since before taking office. It's really an Obama administration-era plan, and this is to use the independent and really what to most Americans is boring Federal Communications Commission to take control of the internet and of what can and cannot be said.
Well, how in the world is that not a grotesque violation of the Fifth Amendment?
Right. It's more dangerous.
I mean, the First Amendment.
Yeah. And the whole Bill of Rights, you know, if you don't have the First Amendment, you've got nothing else. But imagine that the FBI with the Twitter files was, you know, only, in quotes, going after a few people to censor them. This FCC initiative would go after everybody.
Bring it, just for those that don't remember, Missouri v. Biden, what was that case?
So that was a case where the state of Missouri and Louisiana sued the Biden administration to among other things, force it to reveal a censorship agenda, meaning how the administration wanted to coerce certain forms of censorship. And so the states fought against this. And then in so doing, the Biden administration had to admit that it was indeed seeking to coerce censorship.
I wrote, I posted a video. I do an opinion piece twice a week on a local television station. And what aired on TV, I posted on YouTube, and this was back during COVID. And I simply just raised the question, are we sure that Anthony Fauci is right about everything? Are we sure we should be locking down the economy? And has anybody thought of, you know, what the implications of locking down the economy are, and what ill effects that will bring about that might in the end be worse than whatever happens with COVID? I just raised the question, and I was my post to YouTube was taken down, and I got a very unsubtle warning not to do it again.
Oh, well, we're members of the same club, Paul. Yeah. And this is a question. Imagine you're just asking questions. You weren't even saying anything, you know, as if it's a crime to say something anyway.
Well, listen, what if I did say Anthony Fauci's full of beans? How is that illegal? How is that in any way not completely protected? And not, you know, if you think I'm me saying Anthony Fauci's full of beans, if I'm full of beans for saying it, why not let that stand and have the debate?
Right. They cannot allow any of this. And this was what the whole Twitter files were all about. This was just getting people like you and me knocked off Twitter or whatever other platform. Now the FCC has a plan to impose this on internet service providers.
How would it work?
They're not being straight.
How would it work?
Well, they're not being straight about how they describe it. It's all couched in really nice consumer-friendly language about how the FCC can make internet service providers. These are the companies that provide the backbone to the internet.
Right.
And so to make them compliant with what the government mandates, whether it's for price controls or what they would call accessibility, they bake into it diversity, equity, and inclusion. So they want internet equity. So they want all the people who pay to have their money taken to give away freebies to other people who it can't or won't pay. And so it's all this diversity, equity, and inclusion baked in. And if the internet service provider doesn't comply, it can be squeezed out by the federal government. Now, to make it worse, think of the internet service providers, say like Comcast, that own media companies and they own entertainment companies and radio networks and so forth. By squeezing them, the government can either compel them or intimidate them into censoring the contents of what people say.
Well, you know, at the dawn of the internet age, we were told that the internet would democratize the flow of information. We would no longer be subject to getting our information from, you know, essentially three or four or a handful of sources, that the flow of information would be everywhere. There would be vigorous debate. There would be the ability for people to freely speak on the internet would cause the public to be better informed because we weren't getting our information from an oligopoly. The social media networks were supposed to do the same thing, a free flowing forum where people could engage in conversation and debate. That was supposed to be the great democratizer of information.
Right. It was. But there is so much money in control of information, and there's so much power in it that when you have either companies that are ideological, like Google, censoring people on their own, imagine combining that with government officials and bureaucrats that are ideological, and they work together to weaponize assets that they either control or seek to control to censor the rest of us, and then to just prevent us from knowing what's going on.
Well, what's the fix here, Michael? What do we do about it?
Well, the fix has been, it's been a great fix. So that Missouri, the state of Missouri and Louisiana, when they sued the Biden administration, that was a really neat move. We're here. The states are exercising their own power against the federal government, and the federal government was forced in court to admit that it conducts, quote, coerced censorship in social media to silence people who have the unauthorized opinions. So this was really, really vital. So, and it's no wonder, you know, why the Biden types are talking about expanding the Supreme Court so they can prevent this kind of thing from happening again. Get rid of that last check and balance.
Well, so as a practical matter, do we fix this legislatively? Do we fix it in the courts? How is this stopped?
Well, we have to fix it in the courts while we can. presidents appoint FCC commissioners.
Yes.
So it's a bipartisan board, as you would know.
We finally have a full FCC. It had been tied at 2-2 because we couldn't get any of Biden's nominees confirmed, but we have an FCC chairman. So it's now 3-2 in favor of the administration.
Right. So you get a new president coming in. They say it's Donald Trump. He can name the next ones, but they do have to be bipartisan. And it's important because even one commissioner, and we had one here, Brendan Carr, wonderful commissioner. He was their general counsel. He's the one who's been exposing a lot of this stuff and issuing the warnings based on what he's seen from inside the FCC.
And so the FCC truly intends to use its regulatory power. And nobody at the FCC is elected. They're appointed by the president, but the FCC staff is permanent federal bureaucracy. Administrations come and go. The staff stays. So the FCC staff could exert pressure upon an internet service provider to throttle anything that is not approved by the government or by the regime in power. That's what you're saying.
Right. And it can also grant privileges to those internet service providers that comply. So not only punish the noncompliant, but to reward those who comply. So that would even incentivize companies that are not politicized at all to just read the writing on the wall and say, you know what, I better just do what the central government wants me to do, and we're just going to throttle these people.
Well, here's the scary thing about this, Michael. There's no such thing today as a newspaper as we understood it, where an independent editor and publisher prints up the news and delivers it to front porches, and there's nothing the government can do about it because there is no news organization, not one, that isn't completely dependent upon the internet. Not one.
Right. Right. And that traverses state lines. That means there's federal authority because it's considered interstate commerce.
Yes.
And that gives the federal government the right to intervene on everybody.
And not only that, you know, the newspaper used to be locally owned. There was somebody with the sensibilities, nominally with the sensibilities of that community, that owned the newspaper. The radio stations used to be locally owned. Very few of them are now. I'm an exception. I own radio stations in a market east of Dallas, Tyler Longview, that I'm the local owner, but there used to be thousands of me. Now there's down to a few hundred. So media is not locally owned, and all of us are having to rely on the internet. So effectively the government could do what the founding fathers would never have imagined: take absolute control over the fourth estate. Correct?
Yes, that's right. And that's the idea.
Well, that should scare the living bejeebers out of every American.
Right, right. Well, imagine, you know, had there not been a free first just bloggers and social media, and then an independent outlet like the New York Post exposing the Hunter Biden laptop story. Well, you had the central government saying it's disinformation. You had the FBI saying it's disinformation when it knew in advance that it was true. And then you had all the big media saying it's disinformation. Under this type of system that the FCC is proposing, there would be no way to distribute the truth if these faceless bureaucrats call it disinformation.
J. Michael Waller, author of Big Intel, how the FBI and the CIA went from Cold War heroes to media censored. What's the subtitle of your book? How the
FBI and CIA and FBI went from Cold War heroes to deep state villains.
So the New York Post put out, they broke the Hunter Biden laptop story. They broke the story. I heard about it when it broke, but very quickly Twitter and Facebook kicked the New York Post off their platforms. Not only that, if you retweeted, if you yourself used your own social media account to forward the story, that got kicked off. So two companies effectively killed the story. And here's the thing about that, Mike, and I'm sure you know this. A post-election poll revealed that as many as 15% of voters who voted for Joe Biden would have changed their vote if they had known about the Hunter Biden laptop story.
And that's what the censorship's all about.
And so, you know, the idea that the founders said we can trust the citizens to elect their government and govern themselves, but they must be informed. And so the one carve out in the only industry in America that has a specific carve out in the Constitution is what we now call the media industry, the press. It's the only industry that is specifically mentioned in the Constitution, because it said an informed populace is essential to a functioning republic. And so they want to make sure we're not informed. They want to thwart the very founding principle of the country.
Right. And here's the really creepy part, or one of the many creepy parts. The Bill of Rights says Congress shall make no law to abridge our freedom of speech.
Right.
But this isn't Congress making laws. This is nice consumer-friendly language that sounds all friendly. It is allowing the unelected anonymous bureaucrats to make essentially what are laws.
Well, that brings up the thing I've talked about at length many, many times in every forum in which I appear, and that is we have three branches of government nominally on paper. We actually have a fourth branch, and it's the most powerful branch, and it's the permanent federal bureaucracy.
Right. Yeah, it's really, and here in Washington, D.C., seeing it every day, it's really, really, really creepy.
So again, I'm going to ask you, put you on the spot one more time, Michael. What do we do to make sure that this doesn't happen?
Well, this is really our very last chance to get a president who can go in and do what he wasn't even expecting to do the first time. And if it doesn't happen this year, you're going to have the permanent bureaucracy really being permanent, because the way the careerists are moving ahead and the new ones are coming in, you've got woke younger people that are being specifically recruited. There's no longer recruitment of just anybody who wants to come and serve Uncle Sam and the public. All the government recruitment is for woke DEI, you know, crazies to come and be these bureaucrats and these government lawyers. If this continues to happen, you know, we're in a huge amount of trouble. So it's whoever governs from the top is also going to govern who is hired in from below. And this is our very last chance to fix it.
Now, I think it's astonishing how little control the executive, the president of the United States, the head of the executive branch, I think it's astonishing how little control the executive has over the executive branch. Essentially, the president can't really fire anybody. It's astonishing how hard it is to get rid of a federal employee.
Right. Congress would have to abolish the positions. That's the only way to fire them.
Wow. This is profound what you've raised, and it's not some tinfoil hat thing that some guy on the fringe has written a book about. We saw it happen in 2020. We saw it. It happened right in front of us. It brought about a lawsuit. The states of Missouri and Louisiana sued the federal government and won. So we know it can happen, and we know it's going to be attempted. It's underway in real time. It ought to wake everybody up. Elections matter, but so does civic engagement. You better stand up if you want to still have a voice a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, or if you want your kids to have a voice, or to even have the country that we inherited from our parents.
Absolutely. And another thing citizens can do really is to lean on your members of Congress, especially in the House, where they still have somewhat of a majority, because these lawmakers will do a lot of media events. Oftentimes they mean the right thing, but when push comes to shove, they really don't accomplish much in our favor.
Well, yeah, then we could do a whole talk show on the ineffectualness, if that's a word, of the U.S. Congress. J. Michael Waller, the book is Big Intel, How the CIA and FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains. Do you have a website?
Yeah, it's securefreedom.org.
All right, securefreedom.org. Michael, I appreciate your time today. Thanks for opening my eyes, and I hope we've opened some eyes here, and keep doing your good work.
Well, Paul, it was great to be with you.
Great being with you, Michael. J. Michael Waller. author of Big Intel, How the CIA and FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains. Here on The Mark Davis Show at 6:60 a.m. The Answer. We got more coming up. Stay with us. Okay, we're wrapping up hour two of The Mark Davis Show with Paul Glaser sitting in for Mark. We started off with this caller named Amy from Azle, and she set us on a path we haven't gotten back to the bonus question I asked, which is, it being the season that the Texas Rangers will, for the first time in franchise history, dating back to when they were the Washington Senators, they will, for the first time, defend a World Series championship. Do you plan to attend a game in 2024 of your Texas Rangers? 866-660-5759. And, of course, we could talk about the main topic we've been talking about for the first 2 hours. That is, the left does not want to run the risk of you having your say and winning the debate and winning elections. They don't want to debate you. They want to silence you. And that's how come Ronna McDaniel got run out of MSNBC before she even got her coat off. Because they don't want to debate. They don't want to be questioned. They want to you to accept what they believe. And that's why Donald Trump is being pursued legally. Your thoughts on all of that? 866-660-5759. Between now and 10 o'clock at the end of the show, it's you and me in the phones. 866-660-5759. The Mark Davis Show continues after the news. The top of the hour. Stay with us.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.